So I want you to turn with me now over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. I'm going to include later down the road, so you'll be prepared for it, verses 14 and 15 too, which are crucial verses in our walk with God. So we're going to start today with the Lord's Prayer there, going to look at it, and I have a graphic up there for you to see, it says the Lord's Prayer on it, and I want you to really focus on, because it's not only just called the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, it's called the disciples' prayer. You know, really, the Lord's Prayer, if you want it to really be defined in such a way, the Lord's Prayer is the prayer that he prayed in John 17 when he prayed to the Father, which is a dynamic prayer that Jesus prayed for us, the church, at that particular time. But the Lord's Prayer is what we have referred to this for centuries, and also the model prayer, because it's a model prayer that literally helps you pray. It gives you a defined discipline of prayer. You know, and we need that today. We need a defined discipline in our life, because oftentimes, you know, we pray on the run. Okay, we're living in a fast-paced society. Is everybody with me this morning? We're living in a very fast-paced society, a very confused society. We're living in a society that when we wake up in the morning, we really don't know what kind of news we're going to read. We're seeing so much unsettlement, so much division, so much unclarity. Things aren't focused as they should be. And if you have children, you should be, and I would be, and I have grandchildren, and I do have children. They're all adults. But as a dad, I'll always worry about my children. And my grandchildren, I worry about, I'm concerned about. I don't worry to sin. I'm concerned about them and their life and what they're growing up to be like. I worry about the Jeremiah generation, those people such as the ages of Gami and Rika, Will, Janae, Gloria, each and every one of you that are at that age group. I worry, I'm concerned about what they're thinking. You know, I know what I was thinking when I was 38. I just wanted to be a firebrand for Jesus. I just wanted to preach the gospel. I wanted to take down the devil. I just wanted to fight for souls. And today I'm hoping that this generation is wanting the same thing. And what I've witnessed recently in this past week, that they do. They want to get out there and they want to win souls for Jesus Christ. So we're living in a world that is literally declining in the sense of not church attendance, as some want to say, but declining in the faith or the strength of the faith that they have with God. What I mean by that is the menial things, along with the very intentional and large things, are creeping into the homes of people today and causing disarray. I want to say it simply, but I'm trying to give an introduction to give you opportunity to embrace what I'm about to say. Homes are divided today. People are confused. And one thing that is not happening, in homes today, like it used to be, is there's no devotion in homes anymore. Mom and dad are not having devotions together, or mom and dad are not having devotions with their children. There's no prayer going on in homes. They'd rather be watching their favorite drama or comedy or some sitcom or some series that is important to them, and it's more important to watch that than to pray. And the world is moving so fast, we say statements like, I really don't have time to pray like the pastor suggests. Or like I read in the Bible, they were seemingly praying all the time, but they didn't have iPhones and Galaxy 9s. They didn't have iPads, and they didn't have Kindle, and they didn't have Fire Sticks, and they didn't have all these social media evidences. They didn't have Snapchat. Could you imagine if they did? They didn't have all these things. So they were more of a slower pace. And true. But we are in a very rapid pace, and we need to be praying very much so, as much as they did in the times of the early days. In the times where there wasn't all these things that I believe detour us or take our attention to another place instead of our attention to prayer. The church does not pray as she should anymore. Though, yes, there's prayer meetings and there are great prayer gatherings, but as a whole, the church is really not seeking God as she should. Not taking the moments to pray. Oftentimes people call other people to pray for them. And that's okay, because sometimes you're so caught up in something, you just don't know what to do and you need help in prayer. Amen. And that happens, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. You're making the steps to do that. That's a whole lot better than not praying and just allowing the devil to come into your home and into your life and just beat you down to the ground. Emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, and you feel like you're not worth anything. You know, you're not even worth the penny that just got ran over by a train. You know, you're simply wanting something from God, but you don't know how to seek God. Well, that's why Jesus put this prayer here. And I want you to read with me and how it states. It's very clear. He said in 6, 9 through 11... And before I read that, I want you to go to there right now so you can read with me. It's up there on the screen, so you can follow it there, however you want to do it. But he really was giving something in the very forefront of this. In verses 5 through 8, he's talking about the way hypocrites pray. You know, they just want to let everybody see them praying. Here I am, listen to me. I can pray. They walk up and down the streets praying, making loud noises. Those are hypocrites, Jesus is saying. He's saying, you know, they stand in the churches or the synagogues and they want everybody to see them doing it. They're kind of praying, but they're looking over their shoulders, seeing if you're watching. But literally, you know, that's a hypocritical way of entering into the presence of God. God, he's saying to us, I want you to be private in your prayers. I want you to go into the secret place of your prayer closet and pray, and God will then reward you openly. And it's very important that we understand that. And he said then, don't do vain repetitions. Don't continue to say the same prayer over and over and over again. You know, I think God gets it the first time around. How many would amen that? He understands what you're saying. He's literally saying they think they're going to be heard better by their many words. God hears you before you even speak. You can wrestle with that one I just said. He literally knows your thoughts, in other words. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows what you're thinking right now. Amen. He knows what you've been thinking all morning. He knew before you got up, what your steps would be this day. He knows what your tomorrow is. He knows the beginning of your destiny and the end of your destiny. What God wants is you to communicate with Him on a disciplined way to where you can speak to God and understand that He is listening. Amen. He actually hears you. He wants to hear you. He wants to bless you. So Jesus is telling them that. So he said, don't be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. So why do we ask Him? Because He wants communion with us. He wants us to seek His face. He wants us to pray in the name of Jesus in his son's name, his only begotten son's name, our Savior's name, as we enter into the throne room of grace boldly, not sheepishly, but boldly coming in into the presence of the Father, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Now, if I ask you to raise your hands, and I'm sure you would, did you have a time of need this week? You know, we go through struggles. I'm telling you, if you're doing something for God, the devil's going after you. If the devil's not attacking you, you're not doing anything for God. He's got you cornered. You're just kind of hanging out. I'm telling you the truth. People don't want to hear that. No, don't say that kind of stuff. You know, let me tell you something. When you're out there fighting the battle to win souls for the kingdom of God, the devil's going to do anything he can to keep you from doing that. Struggles will come your way. Things will come. Phone calls will come. Bills will come. Statements will be made that'll throw you off. And you become unbalanced then in your prayer life, and you become feeling in despair, and like, maybe I shouldn't pray, or maybe I'm just not that one that should pray. You should pray. You should always pray. You should always call upon the name of God in the name of Jesus. He gave you the Holy Ghost. He empowered you to pray. He empowered you to have what you need from God. He empowered you to come into his presence and seek his face and to know his presence is there. He's empowered you to just be blessed in knowing that you have the right to speak to God. If you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you have the right. And let me tell you, if you have not been washed by the blood of God, you have the right, because when you go to him and ask for forgiveness, he's going to listen and he is going to forgive you and he will save your soul. Amen. He will cleanse you of all sin. It comes through prayer. You just don't think yourself into salvation. You speak and confess yourself into salvation. Amen. Amen. It's so important. So let me read along here now with me. He said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hallelujah. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we're going to go over this in a moment. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That simple prayer, verses 9 through 13, that simple prayer in Matthew 6 will bless you every day. I pray that every day, because I know the meaning of what it means to pray that prayer. I know what it means to say that prayer. I know it talks about God's character. So, you know, basically, our Father who art in heaven. Now, let me tell you what it speaks to me. And I hope you grab this. Are you with me so far? I hope you embrace this, because this is real important stuff. This is real important to your spirit. This is something that you could put in a note, and this is something you should keep with you and listen to and understand. Our Father states we are family. The first person plural is used through the whole model prayer, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer. We are family. It's us that he's wanting us to know. It's about him. We are seeking him, and we are asking him to bless us. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. You know, God is in heaven. The Holy Spirit indwells in us. The empowerment of Father God lives within us. That intent of God is in our life. That investment of God is in our life. The book of Ephesians declares about that investment, declares about what he's given us into our life. The Bible declares to us in the book of Ephesians that we are vessels of honor, that we carry around a treasure in these earthen vessels. We carry around the word of God. We carry around the power of God. We carry around the anointing of God. We carry around the word of God that we can speak to people. So when it says, our Father, we are there for one another. We are there to be there with one another. And we know that he's in heaven. We know that he's there. We know that his life is there. We understand his. But he says to him, your kingdom come. So we're asking his kingdom to come into our life. To come there and to plant itself in our life. That your his will, not ours, but his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will would be done in this earthen vessel. This will would be done on this planet earth. That this will that we want done that could save our families and heal the sick, save nations, declare empowerment over presidents of nations and queens of nations and leaders of nations. He can come in and just change a board meeting by his presence. That's the king that we're seeking, and that's the one that we want to talk to. And we're asking him to give us his daily bread. Now remember, this is an overview. We're going to get deeper down the road here. This is just an overview. Everybody say overview. Overview. And basically what I'm saying is that this give us our daily bread. He's saying to us, we're looking into the tomorrow. We're asking God to give us tomorrow's bread. He takes care of us. He's not going to let us starve or be hungry. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their children begging bread. Amen. God is always there. I remember one time when Kathy and I were literally without money, living in a home because I just left a business and I had to leave that business to become a Christian. And we didn't have any money. I was making several thousand a week to nothing a week. We didn't have any money. Then I started a business. And I went bankrupt. We didn't have any money. When you start serving God and you start praying, you're going to get pressed by God. You're going to go through things because God is going to press you. Amen. And through that crushing, something beautiful is going to come out to whereby you are going to be able to praise God greater in prayer. So don't look at your trials and tribulations as God is chastising me because I'm a sinner and I'm not good. God is trying to get you to where you can be a vessel of great strength and honor to declare the word of God no matter where you stand. Yeah. To have confidence in his word. We didn't have any money. I got a knock at the door. There's these two ladies standing there. With four shopping bags, two in each arm, two ladies equals four. And they said, and we didn't know them, but the pastor of the church told them who we were, and they went and began to pray. And the Lord spoke to them and said, they don't have any food. Go buy them food. And they brought four bags of groceries for my wife and I and our four children. Over and over and over, we have seen miracles in our lives of God's provision, the daily bread. Literally, I mean, I can go down testimony after testimony and the importance of understanding that by His love towards us, He will supply our need, not our greed. Yeah. He will supply our need. You know, human beings, there's an old statement. It says, well, once I get $100, I don't need any more. And they get $100 and they said, you know, I need a little bit more. Once I get $500, I'll be all right. They get $500, I need a little bit more. Once they get to have $1,000, I need a little bit more. I knew a guy one time in a business that I was very much involved in. In his silver briefcase, he was carrying around $1,000,000. And I said, man, what are you doing? I said, I remember you told me when you get to $1,000,000, you're going to quit the business. He said, no, I know I said that, Dennis, but you know what? I think I need another million. You see, our nature states to us, it's not enough. And when we start to use that with God, God doesn't want a deal like that. Because when the Holy Ghost is in our life, and the power of the love of God is in our life, and the Word is in our spirit, we have enough. Amen. And God will supply our need, not our greed. He will supply for us. Moms, dads, I know what it is to have a baby and you wonder, am I going to have enough baby food for the next day? What should I do, Dad? How should I handle this? The first thing you do is you pray. You pray and God will lead you on what to do. If not that, God will send somebody to your front door. Amen. And He will bless you. I remember a good friend of mine, and I just love him to this day. He didn't have Christmas, and I started making money again, you know, because as an entrepreneur, you simply, when you lose, you get back up quickly. I started making money again, and I heard he didn't have Christmas for his kids. You know what it would be like to be there without Christmas, without nothing for your children? You know, we can do it as adults, maybe. But you know, there are when you have children there and they're looking and all their friends at school is going to ask them, what did you get for Christmas? And you know, they probably have to tell a fib because they're embarrassed. Well, I'll tell you what I did. I went down to JCPenney's and I bought them Christmas for the whole family. Mom, Dad, and the two children. Full. I put green garbage bags at their front door, three of them full, 50-gallon garbage bags, full with presents. And I knocked down the door, and they opened up the door, and I said, Merry Christmas. The Lord has sent me by to bless you. You should have seen their faces. You see, they've been praying, what are we going to do? He was out of a job. The church couldn't pay him. His wife didn't have a job. She was taking care of the children. The children were too young to work. They were backed up into a corner. But, you know, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. God hears that prayer and He supplies that need. They had a great Christmas. Amen. A wonderful Christmas. You see, what I'm saying to you is this prayer is about us. It's about us obeying God and understanding what God has for us to do and how we need to live our life and what we need to do with God. And if, you know, to be able to say, and forgive us of our debts. Forgive us of our debts. As we forgive our debtors. You know, if you go down to verses 14 and 15 in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible's very clear. If you don't forgive somebody else, God's not going to forgive you. There's a story in the Bible of a guy that owed $1,000,000. A large sum. And the guy that saw him sent after him and brought him to the table. Where's my money? And he said, sir, forgive me. I don't have it. I just don't have enough to pay you. And the guy was compassionate and he let him go of the debt. Set him free. Well, that guy skipped down the road. Anybody would, set free of $1 million debt or a large sum of money debt. Skipped down the road, and then he saw his person that he loaned money to. It was about $40 or $50. And he said, "Where's the money?" He says, "I don't have it." He called the jailers and the police over to put handcuffs on him and put him in jail till he was there long enough to pay the debt. Well, the first person heard about it, and he called him back, and he put him in jail. He said, "How could you not forgive when I forgave you of such a large amount, and you could not forgive such a little amount?" You see, the Bible's very clear. If we don't forgive each other, God's not going to forgive us. That's what this prayer reminds us of, to be able to forgive. To forgive. To not hold aught. Not hold any anger, resentment in your heart towards someone else. You know, listen, it's great to be free of unforgiveness. It's great to say, "I forgive all those that has offended me. I want to be free because God has forgiven me." Forgive us of our debts as I forgive, or we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Let me tell you something about God. He doesn't lead you into temptation. The Bible says God tempts no man. He doesn't do that to you and I. What he does do for us, he helps us and he keeps us from succumbing to temptation. And temptation is all around us in this social world. Temptation is on the television. Temptation is everywhere you look today. If temptation comes, temptation finds, the enemy finds your weaknesses and starts to work on them a little at a time. And what you need to do is you need to stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost of the living God. And let me remind you, that Holy Ghost lives within you. And he is the most powerful personality that you'll ever meet in your life. You are an overcomer through Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You can conquer the devil. You can tell the devil, "Get away from me." Don't let evil try to come into your life through temptation. Don't fall to temptation. There is so much temptation today on the church. So much that people aren't praying. So if you're not praying, you're going to succumb to temptation because you don't have the strength. Because you've not been reminded about who you are in God through prayer. And you forget that the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, is walking along your side. He indwells within you. You've been baptized with fire. You've been baptized with power. And you can tell the devil, "Get out! Get out of my home. Get out of my mind. Get out of my car. Get away from me. Stop trying to tempt me to drive into the liquor store. Stop trying to tempt me to turn on that computer and look at pornography. Stop trying to tempt me to go ahead and go to that dealer's house I used to see and get a little bit. And maybe I can chip a little bit and chipping's okay." You know, You're delivered from that. Delivered from gossip. Delivered from criticism. Delivered from judgmentalism. Delivered from hatred. Delivered from racism. Delivered from the things that are causing our world right now to be just twisted. And, you know, we don't even look like a pretzel anymore. We look like a golf ball without its skin. Just a bunch of rubber bands wrapped around each other so tight. We don't even know how to start to unwind it. But let me tell you, through prayer, this simple prayer, you can learn how to unwind and be holy before God. Are you with me today? Are you understanding that I'm just starting a message with you and I'm giving you an introduction? We're going to really dive in. We're going to swim. Amen. To understand what it is to pray the Lord's Prayer. But deliver us from evil. I stand before you today on my own. On my own now. May I say that again? On my own. Not including God, Jesus, or the Holy Ghost. My wife, my children, my grandchildren. On my own. I am not strong enough to defeat the devil. I'm not going to play that card. But I got a great wife. And if I start to step in a different direction, she lets me know. Amen. I got great children that I better live an example for them. My boys told me one day, said, Dad, even though we're out there in the world right now, we look back and we see Mom and you, we see the standard whereby we need to lock into, the standard of living that we should be living like. My grandchildren come, they know that I'm a Christian pastor. They know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and power. I pray in the Spirit over them. I pray in tongues over them. I talk to them about Jesus Christ. I talk to them about my oldest granddaughter is here with us today. She's watching the nursery, and she always talks about getting the tongue. She wants the tongue really bad, and we keep praying for her to get the tongue. But let me tell you something, how important it is, I'm saying to you, that we have these family relations. We have all this, and it helps us to build up. But I'm telling you, the superhero of this part of prayer is the Holy Ghost of the living God. Because He's indwelling within me. And when temptation comes, I can stand up against temptation and I can say, get out of here. I take every thought into captivity under the obedience of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal but spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. Amen. Well, let me tell you right now, we, through prayer, we overcome temptation, and by the power and the anointing of the Holy. That's why I pray that everybody gets the Holy Ghost in their life and they seek the power of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. Amen. He can't get through the blood. He can't. If he tries to counterfeit it, it's not him. We have victory. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us. First person plural. Deliver us from evil. Amen. There's a lot of evil out here in this world. There's so much evil. We're focused on the evil instead of the good. We're focused on this government instead of the government of God. Let me tell you something. You want to be focused on a government, focus on the government of God. Because that's who we belong to. Amen. Can you say amen? Let me tell you something. We need to focus on who God is in our life. You focus on all sorts of things on this earth. It's there and there and protest here and protest there. Let me tell you, don't raise up your flag to protest. Raise up your flag to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, and watch what God can do in your life and in this earth's life. He's wonderful. I'm not telling you don't have an opinion. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? I would be so wrong by saying that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is your opinions matter, but don't make them your opinion over what God's opinion is. Amen. Amen? It's so important that we understand that. And let me just go ahead now and bring it to a close, because the introduction's almost over. Deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom. There is no kingdom like God's kingdom. And by the way, when you got saved, you moved from the devil's kingdom into God's kingdom. Amen. It's a whole lot better. Amen. Devil's kingdom's got poverty, and it's got filth, it's got dirt, it's got gossip, It's got those weird looks, those judgmental looks, those looks that you get like, why are they looking to me like that? And, you know, you were looking at this, we're looking at that. You're looking at the way you're dressed. You're looking at the color of your skin. You're looking at all sorts of things. Why are they looking at me like that? You know what? That's the devil's kingdom. You walk into God's kingdom, you get a smile. Amen. It don't matter what you look like, what color you are, you get a smile. You get a look of love. You get an encouraging word. You know, I walked into a place yesterday. My daughter lives there. And she's renting with another girl. And I every time I see the other girl, I say, you know what? Is she not saved? She not saved? But the Holy Ghost in me says, talk to her. Every time I see her, I say, how you doing today? Be encouraged. God's favor's going to be in your life. You're a great person. She drinking. She got the drinking eyes. I've been around people to drink for a long time. My ministry, when I first started, was getting people out of the pool of alcohol into the pools of glory. She got the eyes. She got the walk. She got the look. When she's alone, she got a drink. And it ain't Pepsi, it ain't Coca-Cola, it's not Sprite. It's got a name by the name of J.D., Jack Daniels. Let me tell you something right now. But I don't care. I'm trying to reach your soul at this point. Amen. You're doing good. God's favor's on your life. I want to encourage you. You're a great person. She turned to me yesterday and she says, you know what, Dennis? You always make me feel good. You always encourage me. Thank you. You see, I want to be an encourager. I want to tell people how great they are. Even if they're lying in a pool of sin and darkness, I'm going to tell them, you're looking great. Let's come on now. They may reach out one day to me and take my hand and say, would you lift me up out of this darkness? And would you be the one that could lift me out of this miry clay? And set me upon a rock and put a new song in my heart and establish my goings where I would sing that song and others would see it. Praise God. How important it is that we have that. So His kingdom. We live in a different kingdom than this earth has. We don't live in the kingdom of this earth. We live in the kingdom of God. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We have a different look, a different example, because we pray, because we're saved, and we're empowered with the Holy Ghost of the living God. You say, well, preacher, I don't have the Holy Ghost. You can today. If you want the Holy Ghost, just ask for the Holy Ghost, and I tell you, He'll come into your life. He'll baptize you with fire. He'll anoint you. He'll strengthen you. He'll wash you out. He'll get rid of that. You know what I like sometimes? Sometimes I find an old dirty bottle or glass on my property. I take it in there and I get that Dawn. You know, Dawn get rid of everything. Yeah. Dawn get rid of everything. Palmolive doesn't get rid of everything. Dawn gets rid of everything. I know, I've tested it. I get that Dawn. I get that hot water that you can't even put your hand underneath. I get it in there and I let it soak. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost does. He comes in with His Dawn. He pours on that hot fire from glory. And He lets you sit for a while. Then all of a sudden He washes you out with the fire of God. And you're as clean and as pure and as like you're like crystal. Praise God. And you get so happy. You start praying in tongues. You don't even know what you're saying. God's given you a language and you're praying. You see, that's what prayer does to you. You're living in God's kingdom. You're not living in the world's kingdom. Who cares if the world sees you praying in tongues? I want them to see me praying in tongues. Amen. I've had people saying, what are you doing?
What's those words you're speaking? I said, they're tongues. It's just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the language that God has given me. Well, where can I get it? You got to get saved. You got to get sanctified. You got to ask God for this gift and this baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't want to go through all those steps. It's like the guy in the Bible said to Peter, I want some of that. Where can I buy it? You don't purchase this. God gives it to you. And same thing with prayer. You need to understand that enlightenment, that investment of prayer is in you. And Jesus said, this is how I want you to pray. It's your power, God, not mine. I don't have any power, by the way. I don't. People tell me that I have power to make things happen, but I don't have power. You have influence to make things happen. I don't have influence. The only thing I have is faith in God and the Holy Ghost and Jesus' love that radiates all over me. And I want to tell everybody about Him. A kingdom that power in His glory. God gets the glory of everything. You know, you can sit on this earth right now, and if I had a chair, I'd sit down right now and get this old sad face and do some weeping for you right now and the poor me thing, and oh my God, it's all over for me. Oh, this is over. This is done. Let me tell you something. It's not over till Jesus says it's over. And He gets the glory. He receives all the praise and the honor. We worship today. I don't believe one of those words in worship today said, praise me. Praise the human body. Praise the human mind. Praise humanity. It was saying, praise Him. Praise Jesus. Would you stand to your feet this morning with me right now? And let's just lift our hands up for a moment and let's just praise Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've received anything from this message, I think we should praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray God gives every one of you the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire right now. And you just pray in a tongue. You're all so worried about who's going to hear you. Who cares who hears you? I prayed up and down the streets of Santa Cruz, in the mall, in front of everybody. I just keep praying in tongues. You know what? Who cares? Praise God, the Almighty Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Ask Him today, Father, baptize me in the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus baptized me with fire. John the Baptist said that I'm not worthy to latch even the latch of his sandal. For there is one coming. I baptize with water, but there is one coming who is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That one came. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Just ask Him in your life right now, baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Lord God, I want to pray like the pastor just preached. I want to know how to pray like the pastor just preached. I want to be part of what this is that he's speaking. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be on the inside lifting up your name in praise. Hallelujah. Rama shande kerete roshi kandai. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I thank Him today for His mercy and His love.